this way themselves. Americans. This is supposed to be the golden era, and it is.
I thought you were going to say Colby because he's been on the line for like five minutes.
No, I never feel bad for Colby. Colby's living his best life. Yeah. What are you talking about? Even though he's destroying chairs, which we'll get into
in a second. Oh, you interrupted my call with a new person who's doing labor at my home.
No, this is like, what a rivalry we would have in international hockey with this era of American hockey players that, you know what? In on second thought, let's not go back to the Olympics. We're good.
No.
Let's have the belt. Let's retire with the belt.
Not living in fear. I will say Austin Matthews' legacy is he's a Toronto Maple Leaf. Mm-hmm. There's no villainous angle to Austin Matthews. It'd be real awkward if the States beat Team Canada and Austin Matthews scored the game winner and you got to watch Leaf games for it. Imagine golden goal was Austin Matthews.
I'd rather not.
Yeah. Yeah, I would rather not either.
You know who's hoping that the NHLers don't go to China in 2022?
Oh, I know who.
Our next guest. So the door is swung wide open for him and his chase of China.
Oh, I was actually going to say, do you know why I think he doesn't want them to go?
Why?
Because I think Colby's son, his eldest, is American, and the conflict of watching those games with his now hockey-loving son, who would be rooting for Team USA against Team Canada, might shatter your soul. Is that true or not?
Yeah, it's true. It'll be true. But guess what, boys? Boo-hoo! Boo-hoo! Fire up the Peloton! Let's go!
Do you have a Peloton? Okay, yeah. What are you talking about? For us? Yeah. Yeah. No, he's buying us all Peloton.
I was going to say, I know you're rich, but buying the boys Pelotons for Christmas is a pretty sick move. Thanks, man.
Do you actually have one?
Yeah, I got one. I got one a couple of years ago. It's collecting dust in my basement.
Yeah. I'm confused.
Did you
pay
for it? Can I have it if it's just doing nothing?
Yeah. No.
Oh, come on. I'll hang up your Christmas lights.
I gotta get ready for the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I have one Peloton question though. Yeah. What is the difference between a Peloton, which has a screen and like you're involved in a spin class with other people in live time, as opposed to just buying a cheaper stationary bicycle and having a like a laptop or a tablet with a YouTube video of a spin class on it? Like, what is? Can you explain the difference?
I think you can still, with your membership, technically just use it on a tablet. But it doesn't know, like, you're doing a live ride and keep track of all your statistics. I know how you guys are analytics guys. You love the stats.
Yeah, no, I want I want the guy in the on the screen to be like, and Ben, let's give it up for Ben, who's in mile number three.
The whole point.
Oh, you're slowing down, Ben. Okay. Get it together, Ben. You're slowing down.
Ben, your heart's exploding.
Ben, you're the slowest guy in the class. You should go down a level of class. I can't go any lower. There's no lower class. I thought the whole thing about having a workout bike in your own home is that you didn't have to suffer gym culture. Like, I thought that was the whole thing.
Yeah, right. And then you're signing back up for it.
You know what I should do? I should pay money to be at my house, but also have all the douchey stuff that comes with gym culture and be around all the bros. That's cool.
I got to start just taking pictures or like social media pictures like that I'm using it or something. So it's like the scouts see it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what they're looking for. They're scrolling through Twitter every day. Who's on the Pelotons? Who's on the Pelotons? Oh, Army on the Peloton. Let's go. Olympics. No more Pyeongchang. Where's the next?
Beijing.
Beijing. Yeah.
2022.
Beijing 2022. Yeah. Colby Armstrong.
Fire up the, get it going.
Yeah.
Here's the campaign going.
Here's the thing. If you're going to be our Olympian, we need you to maybe be more careful when you're sitting down in chairs. Okay, here's my real question. So you went hockey Twitter viral yesterday because you went ass over kettle in a chair. And Carolyn Cameron was filming you.
Yeah.
And did she? So one thing must have happened. Either this is the luckiest video that ever happened, or B, you guys set it up, or C, she sabotaged you and isn't really your friend.
Well, I would say this. The chair, there's something up with the chair, right? Mm-hmm. I sat in it. Mm-hmm. And it goes way, way back. So I was like, you should video this. And I went way, way back. And boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a chair.
Yeah, it's the
faulty
chair.
I got faulty pants. My pants are faulty, I find.
Keep shrinking. This belt got to make new notches on it. It's just, it's weird belt, guys.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
It's all the things we do while we're sitting there watching hockey games all night, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, do falls, like practice your falling. So,
hey, you know what, though? Back to the Olympics. Like, I know you were talking about Crosby, JD. What about, like, McDavid?
Oh, yeah. Crushing.
Like, we saw him in a North America, Team North America.
That's his legacy.
Like, let's get him in the...
Setting up Austin Matthews for his first ever goal at Scotiabank Arena. Yeah. A moment.
When we think back on his, international legacy, he is Team North America's greatest player ever. Mm-hmm. It's just an undisputable fact.
Yeah, he was
probably
great.
Always will be.
He hasn't got a shot at it yet, though.
No, I know. It's brutal.
You know, I'd love to see him out there.
The thing is, though, do you actually believe guys will sacrifice things in terms of with the league, not with, their time, their effort, their bodies? But do you think they'll actually sacrifice something in a CBA negotiation with the NHL in order to go?
Like what? Like guaranteed contracts?
I don't think it has to be that drastic, but I do feel as though at this point it's got to be something because it doesn't feel like the IOC is going to budge.
Yeah, I know. I mean... I don't see it happening. Do I love it? Do I love it? Yeah, I want to see them, of course. Do the players want to do it?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah, they want to do it. Mm. So it's something that I don't think will happen if they don't want to do it. And I think that's where it's just going to sit and we'll be unhappy.
No, that's going to happen. I have faith. We're not going to go.
You have faith like last time?
Last time I was dubious, and yeah, okay. They held strong, but yeah, man, we're going to go two Olympic cycles without this. It's a huge marketing opportunity. China's massive.
It would be a shame.
No, it would absolutely be a shame, but I am hopeful. I'm hopeful the Toronto Maple Leafs can still make the playoffs. That was not the all-time best effort, especially in the third period. By that team, but it's pretty clear who their best player is, Colby.
Oh, obviously, super clear. I mean, Anderson was out of his mind last night, and thank goodness, right? Because it could have been a crazy, like, Vancouver leads the league with 13, 5 or more goals this season, like a team that's, having a really exciting, fun year, and we got to see why last night, and thank goodness Freddie Anderson was on another planet.
What do you think about the way the team plays in front of him when he's on a heater like that? Because there was a moment in that game where he lets in the first goal and it's because they can't clear guys from in front of the net. There's just a kind of
whistle should have been blown also.
Maybe, but still, how about you just try to move a body? There's a bunch of Maple Leafs right there and no one touches them. And then like right after that, they concede two breakaway goals. There's just clearly no attention to detail. It feels like they lean on him a little too much. Does it say something about the character makeup of the group to you? Like, what do you think of when you see them hang him out to dry like that when he's playing as well as he is?
Well, just, like, for me, it just goes to their, like, defensive aggressiveness. I guess aggressiveness in general, right? Yes, like, they're super passive. They're super cautious defensively in their own end, and we got a team like Vancouver that has skill, speed, and the movement like they do in the offensive zone, it made it really difficult. And yeah, they were saying we got shots from the outside. Most of the dangerous area shots were from the outside, but the four breakaways he gave up, I don't know about that. So it's something that's obviously an issue, and they have the quick strike ability where they're able to come down and score goals, but for Freddie Anderson to have to carry that weight, and how many times is he going to have to do it for them to make the playoffs? Like Todd Werner last night saying he's got to play, 48, 47 of their remaining 50 games. So it's a heavy load. It's a heavy load for him.
That guy is such a workout freak, Todd. He's like, why not? He's like, yeah, man, because I'm not as you. You freak.
I'm with him. Like, yeah, I don't know how you take him out of the net, but they said they're going to on this road trip. Do you think they still do?
I don't know. I think they will, but I don't know how you can right now when you look at what they have to do to get in the playoffs. Like, really, what do you have to do to get in the playoffs? You have to start gaining some ground here, and I know the schedule starts to lighten up a little bit here into the new year, but it's still, like, the points that they have to muster up right now. And thank goodness, really, like Tampa Bay won last night. The night before, I think it was Columbus that spanked. So I'm like, what's going on with Tampa? Are they going to make, everyone's waiting for them to make a run. Like, what's going to happen? So the Atlantic is doing them a little bit of favors right now.
Yeah, it definitely is. All right, you're getting out of the car. You're opening the door. You're getting some gas. What's going on?
No, I don't know what that is.
Oh, right. No, that's not good. You pull over.
It's my Fitbit beating there, telling me I got to get a workout in.
Like, it's to your Peloton. Like, Colby, it's been so long. Please use me. So I think the main reasons to believe that they can turn things around is, yeah, okay, if they can ride Freddie Anderson and hope this lasts forever, absolutely. But that there's room to grow and there's room to improve. And we've seen some of those things under Keefe, right? That has to be what people point to. I think they've now played 9 games under Keefe, and I think they've won 6 of them.
Yeah, they're 6-3.
So you got to look at that and say, all right, there's part of momentum here. But when you look at him and you look at what's changed, you know, what do you look at as kind of the most progressive or what the biggest reason to believe that it's going to be an upward trend?
Well, just in-game management of the bench and his team and using his big boys in certain situations, whether he's stacking big boys out there, you know, coming off power play, he's not afraid to put, you know, 3 studs together that have been not afraid to put 3 studs out there together on a line and get them involved and going in the game. So I think, you know, that freedom with that, you look at the structure and the way they play in the offensive zone when they get in there, when they get rotating around, like a few times in the second period, they really got it going with Dermott jumping through down into the cycle, and they kind of get those high plays working where they're moving. I think that's, you know, something that plays to the kind of game that their guys want to play.
Talking to Colby Armstrong, who has a Peloton that he's not using.
But won't give it to me.
Yeah, interesting offers.
Maybe he'll work out someday. Thanks, what a pal.
Maybe you can make an offer on it. Yeah. They've had this elite Freddie Anderson goaltending over the span of this rebuild era, right? Like, they've just had this incredible goaltending. And that Canucks team, they've got a lot of skill on that team, too. They've had good goaltending at times, but not, like, to the elite level that Freddie Anderson's at. Like, how different are we looking at these last 3 years if the Leafs are just getting, like, average goaltending over that span?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what this team grows into. Like, do you think that they know what they are right now? Do you think, like, their identity under Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas of, you know, what this team is supposed to look like with the way they want to do things under Keefe? I don't know. I think they're still kind of searching for it. It'll be interesting to see when it pans completely out and, you know, this team has that solid identity of what they really are. And, you know, you pair that with what Anderson's able to do, we'll see when that time comes. But I think it's still a work in progress right now for this team. Like, they're still fairly young guys. I know everyone's saying, oh, you're making all this money and you're, you know, you've been in the league how long? But it's really, when you look at some of these other teams, like look at Vancouver, for example. They're young and skilled and good, but they've got, you know, a Myers, a Ben, a JT Miller. They've got Roussel. They've got Sutters, Beagle. They've sprinkled in these veteran guys with that physical edge and guys that have been around. So it's a little different than what the Leafs are looking at with their group right now.
Yeah, it's still always tough for me to look at some of the younger guys and say, all right, I guess you're not fully formed, but it's also frustrating that you wanted all the money of a fully formed player and then say, you still need to be patient with us. It's like, nah, you don't get both those things. If you wanted the money, if you wanted the money and you wanted it all up front and you wanted to be paid like the best players in the league, then you have to be that on every single given night. You can't have, you know, long stretches where you say, well, we're still developing and expect people to be patient. Like, yeah, the rational thing is to be that, but it's just, yeah, it's so strange that it needs to be both these ways. And this is the optimist way of looking at it, and the way that I'm kind of trying to in a way, is that Anderson is just working right now as a bit of a stopgap, that he's putting more on his shoulders as this team does figure that out. Because I would have to imagine having all these years under Babcock with the guys that have been here, having a training camp under Babcock for the new guys and all the new bodies that came in here, having to learn how to play a certain way, having all these tendencies, having all these habits, being told this is what we're doing, this is who's doing what, that it takes more than a couple of weeks to change everything and that these guys are still stuck between systems. How long till you start to judge them and say, well, now the coaching staff should have had things figured out. Now these guys are operating under the new regime.
So under practices, how many times do teams practice early? Like, Keith was fairly lucky when he took over that he got a few days of practice in through that through that firing and coming home on a road trip and being able to get a few days back. But, like, I think, like, let's look at them. Can Freddie Anderson save the day? And can we see what they look like after the new year? I know they don't have time to do that. And can they get by with just sheer outscoring teams right now? And can we get a better look and a better picture in the new year of what this team's identity or look will exactly be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe when they're playing better in that regard and they don't have to rely on their goalie so much, you can, like, plug your nose and put Michael Hutchinson in there for a game or two. But, yeah, not right now. Way they're relying on Anderson.
No chance.
So the Riley Berry thing continues. They've been fine, and both popped at certain points yesterday, and Riley broke up what could have been another breakaway, and Berry had a 2-on-1. But are you expecting more out of those two? Like, those are, like, two of the more explosive offensive defensemen in the league. Shouldn't they pop a little bit more than they have so far?
Well, I think they're both used to having, like, a complimentary guy with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, like, I think in their psyche of being that guy, I think there is a little bit of uncertainty with when can we go and when's he not going to go and when can I be involved. So I like the idea of it. Like in Dallas, we saw Klingberg and Heiskanen together. We don't usually see these guys with these abilities as defense pairs, as defense partners. So I think it'll take some work to get them fully involved. But, man, I saw CC. I saw Dermott out there. I saw CC at the net tipping a puck. I saw Dermott going in on the offensive zone of cycle when they get those high rotations. And I think that's what we're to expect from the Barry and Riley pair eventually once it gets going and once, you know, everything falls into place with, and being comfortable with what they're able to do offensively as a pair.
Colby, good stuff. Watch out for the chair monster, okay?
Boys, you got to be a professional in chairs, right?
Send me that Peloton. Come on. Let's go.
He'll pay shipping.
Yeah, I will. I'll pay for the shipping. That's fair. That's fair as fair, bud. Send me the Peloton.
All right, I'll think about it.
Yeah, all right. See you, Colby.
See you, man.
All right, take care, boys.
Later, buddy.
There's Colby Armstrong.
I'm getting that Peloton. I'm going to bug him constantly about it.